This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي أما بعد. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there's no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always for every single opportunity that we get together to remember Allah, to learn more about the deen of Allah and the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And for the last year, we've been talking about the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we spoke about prior and before the prophecy, and then we spoke about the moment that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed and received the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the age of 40. And then we spoke about the first phase of the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's in Mecca. And tonight we are coming to an end of that first phase, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrates from Mecca to a new place, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to settle in and to be alayhi salatu wa sallam the head of the state in that place, and that's Medina. Now, up until now, before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had arrived to Medina, that city is called Yathrib. That city is called Yathrib. Upon the arrival of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that city was named from Yathrib to Medina city. Madinat Rasulillah, the city of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last week we were talking about preparations for the migration, the hijrah. Preparations for the migration, the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receiving the permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala and him to migrate from Mecca to Medina, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam passed on this permission to the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and asked each one of them to start migrating from Mecca to Medina discreetly, quietly, and do not make any noise or make the people of Quraysh aware of your migration. All the Sahaba did so except Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was the only one that openly went and migrated in front of the people of Quraysh, and he said, after he performed tawaf, to the people of Quraysh, whoever wants his wife to become a widow tonight and his children to become orphans tonight, and whoever wants to face me, then follow me behind this mountain. It was only Umar ibn Khattab that openly migrated in the open and left Mecca. The rest of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, including the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, left and migrated Mecca discreetly, quietly, without making any noise or making the people of Quraysh aware of their migration. Now, the people of Quraysh were aware, they knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is planning and preparing to migrate. And they knew that some of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and some of the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already migrated. And subhanallah, I want you to reflect upon the true leadership character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This day and age, when a town, a city, a country is in a catastrophe, when a town, a city, a country is going through a tough moment, the first person that will flee and escape is the leader. He'll be the first one on the plane leaving. That's how it is. If something is happening, if the country is collapsing, the leader of that country, he'll be the first one on the plane, or the first one in the car, or the first one in any transportation leaving and fleeing. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was last, because he's a true leader alayhi salatu wasalam. He wanted to make sure and secure the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum's safety, that they migrate before him and arrive to Medina before him. If the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had migrated at the very beginning, before the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had migrated, this will give the people of Quraysh the opportunity for them to put more pressure and hold back those who did not migrate with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So the last to migrate was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now you could imagine, and the figures are not 100% accurate, but we're talking about 200 to 300 Sahaba who migrated from Mecca to Medina with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The vast majority of them migrated before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the people of Quraysh are well aware that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the followers of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam are migrating from Mecca to Medina, which is a big threat to the people of Quraysh, and they'll do anything to stop it or block it. Now most of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had migrated already, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam stayed behind. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam made sure that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum all migrate before him, except one person. That he planned to migrate, but the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam held him back. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not even notify him or disclose to him the reason why he's holding him back. That Sahabi is the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam trusts the most, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr wanted to migrate. He was one of the first ones who wanted to migrate. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, not now. Hold back. At the end, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam saw the best time and opportunity, he told him, I want you to accompany me. I want you to be with me, just me and you. That's when Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was overwhelmed. Abu Bakr was over the moon. To know that out of all the people the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam knows, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had chosen him to be his companion and only companion in migrating from Mecca to Medina, which is a display of the trust that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that's one event or many events that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam displays his trust and love to Abu Bakr, so much so before the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood in front of all the Sahaba, if I wanted to choose a companion, and if I wanted to say who's the closest friend to me and the closest companion to me, I would have said Abu Bakr. But you're all my companions. You are all my companions. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said it in a very, very wise diplomatic way, that if you want to ask me, he's the closest one to me. But you're all my friends, you're all my companions. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, every single person that had given us a favor or did something good for us, we managed to repay them back. We managed to repay them their favors back. Except one person, he's done so much for us, we left Allah to repay him. That's Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. For the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to choose Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be his only companion and trustworthy man to accompany the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Mecca to Medina, this showcases what? The trust the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for Abu Bakr. Why didn't he choose anyone else? And he's talking about a very critical moment. You know that critical moment that you could only disclose this information to someone that you extremely trust. And that's Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam held him back and he said, hold back. And then Abu Bakr said, for what reason? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not disclose to him the first time, second time. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, I want you to accompany me. I want you to be with me, to migrate with me, just me and you. You're the only one that I trust completely. It doesn't mean the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't trust the Sahaba. No, he trusts them all. But him in particular, he's on a different level. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, As-suhba ya Rasulullah. The companionship, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes. So he said, oh messenger of Allah, then at least for this honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had honored me, let me fund a trip. Let me fund it. I'll pay off. I'll get the two mounts. I'll get the food. I'll get that. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. You pay and I pay. You fund and I fund. You want the rewards? I want the rewards. You want to strive? I want to strive. Subhanallah. Just an amazing character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was the agreement the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made with Abu Bakr. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited for the right time. Now obviously there are dates that some of the scholars had made mention, and they say the 26th day of Safar, 12th year after the Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad, or 12th year after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the revelation, that was the day the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to migrate from Mecca to Medina. Now the people of Quraysh are hearing of the planning of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the attempt of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to migrate from Mecca to Medina. They tried to block and stop as many people possible from those they managed to stop. But most of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had already left. But the big head, the main person, the main target that they need to stop and to stop everything is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they got together. The leaders of Quraysh got together. And they got together at their meeting point. It was known as Dar al-Nadwa. To discuss this new predicament to them, this new issue, this new crisis they are facing. That Muhammad and his people are leaving, are migrating from Mecca to Medina. Obviously, that's going to be a big threat. Sooner or later, they're going to grow and become bigger and expand. And then they're going to be the biggest threat to them. So 12 of the senior people of the people of Quraysh got together. And some narrations say 14. 12, 14, regardless of the number. But we're talking about the chiefs of the people of Quraysh got together to discuss this new crisis about the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrating from Mecca to Medina, including Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are we going to do? They are discussing amongst each other. What are we going to do? Now keep in mind, even though the vast majority of the family and the tribe of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were against the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam in what he preaches, but at the end of the day, he's a member of our tribe. We're not going to allow anyone to lay a finger on him. We're not going to allow anyone to touch him. So even though we're against him, and we agree with you, but he's from my tribe. That's how the Arabs used to operate. You're right, he's wrong. But he's from my tribe, I'm going to stand with him. But he's wrong. Yeah, I know he's wrong. And you are right. He's unjust and you are just. But he's from my tribe. Islam came and breaking that mindset. Islam came and breaking that mindset and breaking those stupid thoughts that's based only on tribalism, not on principles. So that was another issue. That was another issue the people of Quraysh had. Is like, what do we do with Muhammad? Kill him? Lock him up? Incarcerate him? How do we do that? So while they were discussing, and we're talking about the chiefs, the heads, the leaders of the people of Quraysh, who are gathered together, meeting and discussing their new crisis, what to do with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how to counter the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migration. While they were discussing and talking, and some of them are saying this and saying that and proposing this and proposing that, suddenly out of nowhere a strange man enters their meeting point. Someone they've never seen before. He's referred to as a Sheikh al-Najdi. Najd is a territory, a state up north in the Arabian Peninsula. So al-Hijaz is down south where Mecca, Medina and some of those coastal cities. It's known as Hijaz. After the Hijaz, up north, towards the Gulf, that's what you call Najd. And obviously, you know, they recognize each other from the facial appearance. So this strange man, this strange old man that appears to be from Najd walked in. And he said, what discussion? What are you talking about? So they felt a bit uncomfortable. So he said, oh no, you're talking about Muhammad and what to do. I'm here to assist. And they start to speak. He's a stranger to them. But he managed to manipulate them and win them over. And then they start to discuss, what do we do about Muhammad? Incarcerate him. You incarcerate him sooner or later, his own tribe will let him free. Pointless. Kill him. If one of us kills him, if our tribe, if I kill him, he kills him, then you've got the entire tribe of Muhammad fighting against him. They were talking and discussing. And every time one of them proposes an opinion, this elderly strange man from Najd says, that's not wise. That's not good enough. And then he said to them, I'll give you an idea. Best that each tribe chooses one strong young man. They will come collectively together and go and attack Muhammad and strike him and hit him as one man's hit and let the blood of Muhammad spill and be spread among 12 tribes. And then the tribe of Muhammad can't do anything. They could do something against one tribe, two tribes. But when the blood of Muhammad is spread within 12 tribes, what's the tribe of Muhammad going to do? So everyone turned there and said, very good idea. Thank you, he walked away. That was Iblis. That was the shaitan who came in an appearance and a disguise of an elderly man from Najd. And he gave them the best idea. And you know what? It was a great idea. For their purpose, you can't get anything better than that. He managed to resolve their concern. Their biggest concern is to kill Muhammad. But whoever's going to kill Muhammad, Muhammad's tribe is going to come and retell her and hit back at his tribe. But now he told them, get 12 young men, let them together kill Muhammad, and let the blood of Muhammad spread. Smart idea. But at the end of the day, you can't outsmart Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, that you could outsmart if the word applies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of Muhammad, even though Allah is beyond the concept of smart and outsmart and all this. But you're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. You're talking about the most knowledgeable one. The one that's beyond those terms that we are using. And I use that term with reservation because Allah's beyond that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the planning and the plotting of the people of Quraysh. So they've agreed to choose 12 young men from 12 different tribes, let them come together and attack Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One man's attack, and let the blood of Muhammad spread amongst 12 tribes. And let us see what the tribe of Muhammad is going to do. They can't do anything. Let them go and do whatever they want. What? They could fight against one or two tribes. What, 12? You can't. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the planning and the plotting of the people of Quraysh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even reveals a verse in the Quran al-Kareem about this. وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ مَاكِرِينَ. When the people of Quraysh gather together to plan a plot against you, O Muhammad, to incarcerate you, to lock you up, to kill you, or to oust you, to exile you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let them plan and plot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest planner. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the affairs of people. Let them plan and plot. And Allah plans. And Allah azza wa jalla is the greatest of planners. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel alayhi salam informed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of their planning and plot. And also, Jibreel had given the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an idea what to do. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went ahead with it. The people of Quraysh are planning and plotting, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is planning. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is preparing. And one of the things that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam planned and prepared himself with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he went to his house, went to Abu Bakr, during a time where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the Arabs at that time don't usually visit each other, in the middle of the day. In the middle of the day, they usually go to sleep. They don't visit each other. These are not the times of visiting. These are closing hours, not operational hours. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the house of Abu Bakr that day. Of that night that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was planning to migrate. He knocked on his door during a time where people don't usually visit one another. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the house of Abu Bakr and told him, Abu Bakr, whoever you have in your home, ask him to leave. So the Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied back and said, oh, Messenger of Allah, they're your family, my daughters, Asma and Aisha. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, get ready tonight. After Isha, when people go to sleep, you and I, we migrate. This is the time. Countdown. At that time, we prepare ourselves to migrate. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu on one hand, preparing the travel and the needs of the travel. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is countering the plan and attack on him. So amongst the things the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did is that he asked Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to sleep in his bed. And he told him, oh Ali. And how old was Ali at that time? 17, 18 years old. Like many of the 17, 18 years old who are on their PlayStations right now, or maybe shopping, or maybe at a restaurant, which there's nothing wrong with that. But Ali, on the other hand, he was willing to give up his life for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali, oh Ali, tonight, 12 young men are going to be standing in front of this house, planning to kill me. I want you to sleep on this bed. Cover yourself with my blanket and sleep on my pillow. You imagine the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells you that. And you know what? I'm telling you right now, 12 young men coming in, what are you going to do? Nothing. So what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. Who's willing to give up their life for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sacrifice their life for the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Now you've got Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, still in his early teenagehood years, still young. But someone like him, he did not even hold back from saying, my life is for you, O Messenger of Allah. Some narrations say that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam guaranteed, told him, no harm will ever come your way, don't worry. Allah will protect you. But subhanAllah, just to be put in that position. Now I'm telling you right now, I want you to sleep here, and I want you to deceive the people of Quraysh, that's me, and you've got 12 young men who are all carrying weapons, will be marching and barging through this door and attacking me, storming through this door and attacking me, which most likely they're going to kill you with 12 swords. Not one sword, not two, not five, 12 swords. But 12 young men. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. My life is for you. Fidaka, Ya Rasulullah. I'll sacrifice, as they used to say, Fidaka bi abi wa ummi Ya Rasulullah. I'll sacrifice my mother and father for you, O Messenger of Allah. I'll sacrifice my own children for you, O Messenger of Allah. I'll sacrifice my love for you, O Messenger of Allah. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu slept on the bed of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time, where the 12 young men from 12 different tribes had agreed to meet in front of the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and storm right through the door of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam to attack the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam as Allah had promised. Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. Allah will protect you from people. Even though that verse was revealed after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised protection to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Those 12 young men came and stood in front of the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. At that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made every single one of them fall asleep. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened his door, took a handful of dust, and he put it on their head. And some narrations say they did not fall asleep, they were standing there, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went right through them, right in front of them. And he had a handful of dust, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put it on their heads. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked right in front of them to go and meet with his companion Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Who's sleeping on that bed? Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Those 12 young men are preparing to storm through that door to go and kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which they did storm and barge through that door, going right to that bed, thinking it's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sleeping on this bed and covered with that blanket. Subhanallah, they removed the blanket and they saw Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. They knew that there was no need for them to kill this young man, no benefit. So subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala foiled their planning and plotting, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them unsuccessful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them fail in their attempt. And it shows you the protection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that point, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And both had two mounts where they rode those two mounts and went towards the opposite direction that the people of Quraysh usually take. So from Mecca to Medina, Mecca is here, Medina up here. So for you to travel from Mecca to Medina, you need to go west-north. West-north. What the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr did is they went south, then along the coast, up north to Medina, which is the unusual, uncommon route, uncommon road and path that the people of Quraysh do. It's up north, northwest. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went south first, which is the opposite direction. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the long route and the road, which is along the coast, up north to Medina. And the reason the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that as a form of diversion, because the people of Quraysh are planning and plotting to go and pursue the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kill the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu resort to a mountain down south, a mountain called the Mountain of Thawr. And above, or on the top of that mountain, there's a cave called the Cave of Thawr, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu hid there for 3 days and nights. And the reason they hid there for 3 days and nights, again, to divert the attention of the people of Quraysh away from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to turn away the people of Quraysh away from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, given that they'll be pursuing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and they'll pursue the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam on the common road that connects Mecca to Medina. But who's going to think of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam going the opposite road? Opposite route. What amazes us also, what Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu did upon their arrival to that cave. Now, when they arrived there with their mount, one of the workers that used to work for Abu Bakr took those two mounts, took those two camels, and returned them back to a different place. And he managed to get a group of sheep to walk over the traces so the people of Quraysh don't follow their traces. When Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were about to enter the cave is so small. The cave is so tiny, only fits two people. Their size, not our size. Our size probably 1.5. But their size just barely fits two people. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr were about to enter the cave, Abu Bakr stopped the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, not before I secure the cave." That's how much love and care they had for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu start to clear out and clean up the cave and make sure that there's no harmful insect or object. He cleaned it out, cleared it out. And there were, if there were any holes, he blocked it with his own garment until like he was about to uncover his awrah. There were no more garments for him to block. So he told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, it's secure for you to enter now. And he sat there and that last hole that he did not have enough garments for him to cover, he blocked it with his feet. That's how protective he was over the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how much love they had for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. And there the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr were staying in that cave. And you know, you're talking about a hot desert. You're not talking about like in a cool place where there's going to be an air condition. Like subhanAllah, today it was so hot, if you didn't have an air con, you'd have probably suffered. You'd probably suffocated. Can you imagine in the middle of that cave, in the middle of the mountain, in the hot desert, in the Arabian Peninsula? This is the sacrifice. You won't even last there for 10 minutes, let alone 3 days and nights as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr did. There the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr will stay there for 3 days and nights. Amongst the amazing things that do occur, while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu are in that cave, is that while Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was blocking that hole, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping on his lap, a scorpion bit Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu from that hole. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu loved the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much, and it was so protective over him. So imagine like a scorpion bites you, you're going to react. Ouch! You're going to be in agony. I don't care how strong you are and how big you are, it is traumatizing. It is painful. Abu Bakr did not even move. He just stayed like that. He didn't want to disturb the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sleep of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. While Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was just holding himself so still, so strong, but he couldn't bear the pain, so he started to cry. Like the pain needs to vent out. Usually the way you vent it out is by you reacting, screaming, shouting. But when you are holding yourself, he start to cry, he start to tear. Some of the tears start to drop on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that awakened the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam wake up and Abu Bakr, what's wrong with you? He said, oh, Messenger of Allah, a scorpion bit me. An insect bit him. A scorpion, spider, something bit him. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why didn't you wake me up? He said, oh, Messenger of Allah, I didn't want to disturb you. Love to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, whereabouts? Tell them here, O Messenger of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a bit of his saliva and wiped it over the bitten part, and Abu Bakr did not feel pain after ever again. Amongst the miracles that also took place, and we all know what happened there, and I'm not going to be talking about the pigeon or the spider because these two stories are unauthentic, okay? So I'm not going to be talking about that. I'm sorry to break this bad news to you because I know most of us grew up with those stories. But those two stories are unauthentic. Amongst the amazing things that also took place while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr were in that cave is that the people of Quraysh were pursuing, looking for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Particularly the people of Quraysh had put a reward on the head of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was a reward bringing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr dead or alive. You bring the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dead or alive, you get this reward. You bring Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back dead or alive, you're going to get 100 camels. 100 camels, like, that will make you rich. All you got to do is just find Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr. So people were pursuing, people were chasing, people were looking for Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. But obviously people are going to go take, and people are going to go and look for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the common road that the people of Quraysh usually travel on. Not many people decided to go the opposite road, the opposite path, until a group of horsemen that were looking for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they went down south to the mountain, and then they surrounded the mountain. One of them said, I know there's a cave up there. Maybe Muhammad and his companion are hiding there. So they start to climb the mountain. To climb the mountain is not like, wallah, you climb the mountain, within 5 minutes you're going to be there. If you had ever climbed that mountain, it'll take about an hour climb. An hour climb. And I'm not talking to you out of experience, because I've never climbed it. Okay? I'm talking you out of knowledge. I've been there so many times. It'll take about an hour to climb. Up there, Abu Bakr and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are on the top of that mountain, in that cave, are watching, seeing people. They could see from far a group of horsemen, people climbing the mountain. Now obviously, it's a concerning moment. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu turns to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says to him, O messenger of Allah, they're climbing the mountain right in front of us. Where are we going to escape? They're in front of us, and the mountain or the cave is behind us. There's nowhere to escape. And the moment they climb and reach to us, all they're going to do is just look, watch, see, gaze, they'll see us. Oh, messenger of Allah, what are we going to do? At that moment, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in full calmness, full tranquility, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam is stuck between the cave and the enemy, he turns around and says to Abu Bakr, oh, Abu Bakr, don't be afraid. What do you think of two, you and I? Allah is the third one amongst us. Allah's with us. لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Oh Abu Bakr, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Allah is with us. And if Allah is with us, there's no reason for you to be scared. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, during any circumstance, during any moment, there's no reason for you to be afraid. لا تحزن إن الله معنا. So they did climb the mountain and they got to the entrance of the cave, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr were right in front of them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blinded them. They did not see anything. Ah, there's no one here. Yes, they were there, and Abu Bakr and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were sitting there watching them right in their eyes, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blinded their eyes. Protection. La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. After 3 days and nights staying in the cave of Thawr, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided to continue, pursue the journey from Mecca to Medina. And as I mentioned, they took a different route. That route is along the coast, where the people of Quraysh go through the shortcut, through the straight route from Mecca to Medina. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr, they took the long road, not the short road. And they had a guide with them. That guide was a non-Muslim that we'll be talking about inshallah next week. His name is Abdullah ibn Uraiqat. And we'll be also talking about the amazing scenes and miracles that took place during the journey of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala traveled from Mecca to Medina, and the amazing miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made emerge on the hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is to reinforce the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and the arrival of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam to Medina, which was the most beautiful day that the people of Medina had ever encountered in their life, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam migrates to them and enters their homes. This is something inshaAllah, bi'idhnillah, we'll talk about next week. May Allah reward you, except from me. Subhanakallah hamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله If you enjoy our content, be sure to give it a thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, like our page. And if you're on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته